these areas. Have you thought about where your spiritual life is headed? What about mom and dad? Have you thought about where your kids are headed spiritually? Have you thought about making a spiritual roadmap and looking at where your kids are to help them and to encourage them to grow spiritually? This morning, I want to challenge us from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10, that we would make a spiritual plan for ourselves. And so that's my thought today. Oftentimes, we invest time and money and so many other things, but I want to challenge us today that we would invest time and invest our finances in helping ourselves to grow spiritually, helping others to grow spiritually, including our own, very own kids or grandkids. It could really be one of the most important investments that you ever make. And so I'm going to look at this passage, look specifically at Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to look specifically at verses 6 to 10. So let's read it. In verse 6, it says this, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, just thankful this morning for the opportunity to share your word, and we ask, Father, that we would take what's taught here this morning and that we would apply this to our lives. Help us not to just to listen, but to be doers of the word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this morning, as we think about being directionally challenged and thinking about ourselves spiritually and thinking about making a spiritual plan for ourselves, here's one of the most important things that needs to be figured out. We need direction for our spiritual journey. And verse 6 says that we need to start here by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. This morning, I don't want to assume that everyone in this room knows Christ as your Savior. And I don't want to skip the opportunity, because in verse 6 it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." This morning, I want to specifically ask you, and I want you to think about your life. Was there a time in your life where you personally accepted Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says that we're all sinners, and so that we need Christ to save us for our sins. The Bible also says that we're to believe on him as our Lord Jesus Christ and confess that we know him and to stand in life, living a life so that we don't live in a way where we're ashamed of him. When you receive Christ as your Savior, this message changes your life. Now, here in this passage, the Colossian believers had received Christ Jesus, the Lord. And so the basis of Paul's admonitions here came from the fact that they were Christians and that he wanted them to continue to grow stronger and be faithful. When you become a Christian, your life changes. It's the foundation on which you build the rest of your life, which brings us to the next point here. The lifelong journey as a Christian is that you will continue to live in him. In this verse here, in verse 6, it says, "As you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Living the Christian life is not just a one-day experience. It's a lifetime journey. It's like you're on a trip, and you're living this life, and it's a lifelong journey from the time that you accept Christ to the very end when you die, and either you have accepted Christ and you go to a place called heaven, or you haven't accepted Christ and you go to a place called hell. Paul's specific practical concern here was that the believers would grow in maturity daily. He uses the word walk. In some translations, it uses the word live. And he's referring to their daily way of life. It's the day-by-day decisions that we make. It's our way of life, our choices, our attitudes, our behaviors, our daily conduct as a follower of Christ. It's interesting because as you go back to chapter 1, earlier in this book, in verses 10 to 11, he says this. He says, "So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience joyfully." John MacArthur in his commentary states this, "In broader terms, however, walking in Christ means living in union with him. It means to maintain a lifestyle patterned after his. The one who says he abides in him, the Apostle John writes, ought also himself to walk in the same manner as he walked," 1 John 2:6. When faced with the dilemma that confronts Christians in their daily life, the guideline should be this. What would Jesus do in this situation? You guys remember the old WWJD a few years ago? It was very popular. And I'm not saying that we need to go back to that, but one of the things that we do need to consider in our daily walk with God is, how would Christ live in this situation? How would he respond to this particular boss who's treating me this way? How should a Christian walk and live in this scenario? It's a pattern. It's a lifestyle that's patterned after Christ. We should often be asking ourselves the question, how would Christ respond in this situation? I remember growing up in our youth group and even in our Christian school, and I remember a question that we oftentimes would ask each other, and people would ask me, or I would have the opportunity to ask them. This was the question right here. It says, "How's your walk with Christ today?" I don't know if you guys remember that question being asked, but I think it's a very good question that we should encourage one another with occasionally. You might have a good friend. You can say, "Hey, how's your walk? You spend time in Word this week? How's your prayer life? Are you living for God? Are you doing exactly what he wants you to do?" And so, as he continues this idea that they received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, then it brings us to the very next passage in verse 7. And in verse 7, Paul makes a few analogies that helps us to see where and how we need to grow spiritually. Here's the first one. To have deep roots in Christ. We need to enjoy our depth that we have in Christ. Picture with me a tree that has very deep roots. Yesterday I was working in my backyard, and in my backyard there's three trees in the backyard, and they are big. Every once in a while I think, man, if we were to have a storm or something and those trees come down right on my house, we're all dead. But you know what? I'm just trusting that those trees have very deep roots, and that when the wind comes and the storms batter on those trees, they stand firm because of the root systems that they have. And so that's what it's talking about here, that as a believer in Christ, that we are like a tree with very deep roots. Now, the word here, rooted, is in the perfect tense in the Greek language, suggesting this is a once and for all experience, stating that we as believers are permanently rooted in Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? It's not something that we have to work for. It's something that at the day of salvation, we were rooted in Christ and we are still rooted in Him. Think about that as yourself, as a tree that can stand firm in the faith because you are rooted in Christ. It already happened with the very day that you accepted Christ as your Savior. The next thing that we see from the passage is that we are to be built up in Him. So not only are we to enjoy our depth that we have in Christ, you could kind of picture it like this. If you were to take your hands, here's the roots that we have in Christ, and now we're being built up in Him. This is a once for all, happened one time. This being built up is a continual process. Aren't you thankful that God is not done with you yet? He is at work in you. He is continuing to work in you to build you up as a believer, to make you what you ought to be. Last week, we were in downtown Chicago on our mission trip, and we had a day off on Wednesday, so we got to see some really tall buildings. We got to go to Chicago 360, which is, I guess it's not the John Hancock building anymore, but it used to be called that. I guess it's the no-name building, because there's, I don't know, something going on. Research it if you want. But we're on the 94th floor, and we got to walk around, you know, just like I'm walking now, and you can walk up to the window and just kind of step out and look. You can see Lake Michigan. After researching, it says that you could see three states or something. I should have looked more observantly if I could have been like, oh, there's Michigan over there, and, you know, there's, I don't know. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that then. Yeah, Ohio, Washington, no. Thanks, Steve. And so, you know, we're in this really tall building, and we could look out and just see all over the place. But as I was in the building, I was like, man, I hope this structure's good underneath. That's what I was thinking. But that building has stood for years and years and years. You know that the structure that it has been good. It's withstood many, many storms, strong winds, and many things. And think about us as a believer, that God is at continuing to build us up and to make us what we ought to be. He's trying to grow us stronger. But look at this very next word here in verse 7. That He is making us firm in the faith. This word here also is a continuous action word. Going back, just to kind of review here, is that these deep roots in faith, this is a one-time action. But the next point here, being built up, is continuous action, that God is continuously at work in us. This next word here that I just showed you, firm in the faith, that's continuous action also. That God is continuing to grow you stronger in the faith. He wants us to be firm. He wants us to not be wavering to the right or to the left. And God is at work in you. Are you allowing Him to build you up? Are you allowing Him to cause you to be more firm in the faith? What's your spiritual plan? Have you been sidetracked from that recently? Are you spiritually, directionally challenged, not allowing God to work in you the way He desires to work in you? He's telling us in this passage, as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, live in Him. Every decision you make, it should be considered. Consider what He would think about that. Every action, every behavior, think about what He would want you to do. So God is at work in us, And I'm very, very thankful for that. These 3 points here that we're talking about here, the fact that he builds us taller, he builds us stronger, and that we have deep roots in us, leads us to the next point. And here's what it is, is that we should be overflowing with thanksgiving. I want to ask you this question. I'm asking myself this question. Are we a thankful people? Do we take opportunity to thank others for what they have done for us? Do you go to God in prayer and you thank him for how he's blessed you spiritually? If you look at how these pieces all fit together, I'm going to kind of go backwards here, because as we live in him and we have deep roots in him, that's a fact, that's already established. As we allow him to build us up, and we become more firm in the faith because of him working in us, you know what the result's going to be? We're going to be this kind of person. We're going to be overflowing with thanksgiving, because as God is at work in us, it's just going to overflow. It's just going to come out of us, because as God is at work in us, we are going to be a person of thanksgiving and gratitude. And so, I might say to you this morning, if you're not a person of thanksgiving and not a person of gratitude, you may not be allowing God to work in you the way that he needs to work. Because really, this overflowing with thanksgiving is really just a result, and it's a growth that causes us to grow wider because of how God is working inside of us. And so this action is a response of being rooted, it's a response of being built up, and it's a response of being established in our faith. We're just going to overflow with thanksgiving. At work, because we're believers and because God is at work in us like this, we should be some of the most thankful and grateful people around. And so I'm going to challenge us this morning. Are you living like you need to be living? Are you directionally challenged in these areas? Now, the passage here kind of takes a little shift. And so I want to move that way. As you look at verse 8, what is the very first word of verse 8? Beware. Some of the other versions might have a different word, but basically it's like this. Hey, beware. There is something that you need to know. There is a caution here. There is danger ahead. And we need to watch out for these pitfalls. There are opportunities around us to totally go the wrong direction if we're not careful. We can become directionally, spiritually challenged because we're following something that is going totally the wrong direction. I got to tell you a story, because when I was a kid, my dad and some of his driving decisions weren't very good. So one day I was with him. He was a public school teacher in downtown Dayton, but he had sent us to a Christian school. And so oftentimes we were about 30 minutes from school, and we would go down Route 35 from Xenia, where I live, to Dayton. And I remember when they were putting in the highway on Route 35, and my dad, there were signs up that said construction, but there was this one particular day, because we had seen the signs probably for a couple months, and he knew that there was this on-ramp, off-ramp over here that all the construction and all the cars were backed up, but he could go through this on-ramp, off-ramp and just go by all these people and bypass them all. And so he had learned that. And so one day he was like, you know, the construction was there and the road was backed up with cars. And so all of a sudden he made this decision in his mind real quick that I'm going to bypass all these cars and I'm going to go on that on-ramp, off-ramp. And here he goes, you know, probably about 60, 70 miles an hour around all of these people that are sitting still. Guess what happened? Nope. There was a police car sitting right there waiting for him. Because I think there's a lot of people that have been doing the same thing. Now, my dad knew he shouldn't have done that. He should have sat there right in the traffic just like everybody else. And that he knew that he shouldn't be doing that. But he made a decision in his mind. I need to get to school. I've got to get these kids to school. I'm not going to sit in traffic. I'm going to go around them. There were signs everywhere that said, beware construction. Don't do that. But he did it anyways. And my dad would do that sometimes. There'd be times where my brother would drive home on that same road after school one day, and my brother would call and say, hey, Dad, wanted to let you know I saw two police cars on the way home. And guess what would happen? My dad would get stopped. Even after the warning. And so sometimes there's warnings out there that are just saying, hey, and they're trying to get our attention. They're flashing signs. And that's what the Bible's saying here. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And that's what I want to say to us today. Beware, because there are spiritual pitfalls all around us. We know that the Bible says that Satan walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here's trap number one: getting captured by man's ideas. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:14. It says that we should no longer walk around as children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. One of the things that I want to encourage us to do this morning is oftentimes in the banking industry, they encourage you to know the real. Because counterfeits change all the time. And that's what we have in our society too. There are spiritual ideas that are counterfeits out there that are changing all the time. But this morning, what I want you to do is I want to encourage you, as you make a spiritual plan for yourself, that you would set out to know exactly what you believe. Because we need to know the teachings of the Word of God. We need to know the doctrines of the Word of God. And sometimes it's easy to be deceived. Sometimes the counterfeit looks very close to the real thing. And so we need to know the truth from God's word so that we can see the errors of false teaching all around us. This word that's mentioned here specifically, beware lest anyone cheat you, and the word cheat, the idea, it's two words put together, and it literally means to kidnap or to carry off as booty, B-O-O-T-Y, or spoil of war. The same concept is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, where Paul warns of those entering into households and captivating weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. And so one of the things that we have to do as believers to understand the false teaching around us is we have to grow stronger. We have to know God's word. We need to be in God's word. We don't want to be weak. Also, he warns them in the very same chapter here, Paul does, in verse 4. Look at that verse. It says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Here's one of the things, if you understand the context of the passage in chapter 2, Paul was writing this letter to the Colossians to tell them, hey, some of you I've never seen before, and I've never had the opportunity to see you face to face, but my desire is to be with you. I long to be with you. He says, I'm not with you in person, but I'm with you in heart. I love you so much as believers that I want you to stand and be faithful over time. And beware, because there are people out there that have persuasive words and they want to trick you and cheat you and carry you off like war, stealing bounty or things that are important, and they want to deceive you the same way. And that's Paul's heart here as he shares a specific passage as we come to verse 8, and he says, beware. There are men's ideas out there that are often trying to lead us astray. And I'm here to tell us today and to remind us specifically what Paul is saying. Be careful. Beware. So Paul's strategy for urging the Colossians to resist the false teaching in the midst is to begin with the positive. They need to hold on to their authentic teaching about Christ that they had already received. Now, here's trap number two. Trap number two, don't get caught up in the principles of the world. In this passage, in verse 8, it says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. But also, this passage then carries the idea, it says, also be careful because there are basic principles of the world that can also come in and people try to trick us. You know, as I think back of my time in the church, one of the biggest things that I oftentimes see as distracting to us as believers, and I'm talking about myself too, and our spiritual growth is the things that are around us. The world and its pleasures are all over the place. And one of the things that can really get us off focus, and one of the things that I want to caution us about again today, as we've been cautioned probably before, is that sometimes, we oftentimes as believers, we really just want to focus on ourselves. We want to feel good. We want to please ourselves. We want to rest. We want to relax. And sometimes I feel like as we move on in 2018, one of the things that the church is doing is we are allowing ourselves to give into the world's ideas and the world's pleasures, and we fulfill ourselves so many times with those things rather than the things of God. Satan oftentimes is using materialism in our day to distract us as people in our spiritual growth, and we have to be very, very careful. It's something that could really, really distract us from being what we ought to be as believers. I would encourage you today that you would think about where your priorities lie in these areas, because oftentimes for us as believers, it's a really slow fade. It's something that we can really become very distracted, and it happens slowly. Why? Because we live in the world system every day. We live and breathe and carry on, and we see people around us, and it's alluring. Oftentimes in our lives, we're looking to fulfill and fill an emptiness in our lives that really should be filled with Christ and His Word. And we have to be very careful. One of the main things and main ideas of the book of Colossians is this: the absolute supremacy and sufficiency of our lives is Jesus Christ. And sometimes we're trying to find sufficiency in so many other things. And so I'm going to leave us with this last point. If we're going to grow and be what we ought to be in Christ, and be the believer that we should be, and not be directionally challenged, we have to realize this point, that we need to daily live in the sufficiency of Christ. We need Christ plus nothing. As you look at the apostles and you look at the disciples, the way that they lived, and you look at the apostle Paul, he traveled all over the place. He probably had very little as far as material things. And we need to realize that our sufficiency does not come in things or possessions, but our sufficiency is found in Christ, that he is all we need. Your plans for spiritual growth have to be around this plan. He is all we need. This will begin to cause us to live more heavenly-minded, more gospel-centered, and more prayer-focused. Because Christ is all we need, and he is all we have, and all we need to live for. Have you lost your spiritual direction? I would encourage you today to refocus, recalibrate your plan. Take time to sit down, just like you would for a trip, and say, where am I? Where are my weaknesses? What do I need to grow in? And begin then to develop a spiritual plan for your life. In verses 9 and 10, it says this, for in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Did you get that? You are complete in him. There is nothing else that you need. You need Christ plus nothing. Now let me ask you this question. Are you satisfied with him? Or does it have to be many other things that you need? How's your walk? Are you living in him? Are you being faithful in him? Are you taking the fact that you are rooted and that you are being built up in him? How's your devotional life? Are you spending time in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you following after the Spirit? Are you easily led astray down the wrong path? I would encourage you today that we would not walk out the same people, that we would walk out differently, saying, God, what do you want me to do? What are the areas that you desire for me to grow in so that I can continue to walk in you and be faithful in you? Let's go to prayer. Dear Father, just thankful for the opportunity that we had to look at your word. And we ask, Father, that you would use this in my life, Father. Help me to be what I need to be. Help me to grow. Help me to continue to hunger after you and thirst after righteousness. Father, I praise you for this church. I praise you for these people. Help us to leave more firm in you. Work in us. Father, help us to leave stronger in you. Father, help us to be a people of gratefulness. Let it just flow out of us because of how you're working inside of us. In Jesus' name I pray.